Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Joining us on the program, we have Lynn Altman, the president of Brand Now. For over 20 years, Lynn has been the behind-the-scenes innovator for many of the top 100 global brands, including Pepsi, Nestle, Colgate, PayPal, Gillette, McDonald's, Johnson & Johnson, American Express, and Kellogg's. And Lynn, thanks so much for joining us here today.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, it certainly is our pleasure to have you and looking forward to hearing from you in all regards. So for starters, most people think that a blue sky approach is the best for innovation, but you advise otherwise. If you don't mind, respond to that question and get into some details on your stance there. I'm sure listeners would appreciate your input there as well.
Well, one of the favorite things that I've always said to my team is the fact that the creative mind loves discipline. And so it really activates the creative mind, the problem-solving mind. And so a lot of times going into an innovation project, a client will say, well, we don't want to limit your creativity. But blue sky thinking is exactly that. It's unlimited creativity, which could be great when just daydreaming or imagining the origins of the universe. But when you have an innovation project, you need guardrails. You need to know what those limitations are. And what that actually does is it forces you to really think more creatively, to look at the problems and the challenges and overcome them in, again, creative ways, but then get to more realistic ideas. So it's much easier to come up with a problem to a solution to a specific challenge than to just imagine that anything is possible all the time. It's quite paralyzing.
Great response there. I certainly do appreciate that. Now, you also say that more time does not equal better. What effect does timing have on project success?
Well, so, and it's actually that same creative discipline. And so we say actually that more time, and I wrote my question wrong. It's more time is not better. So the same thing with blue sky, having an expansive amount of time or kind of guardrails on a project or on a challenge is really, really tough. But if you set meaningful deadlines, meaningful timing, you can really get so much more done. And so, I mean, think about, let's say, you're getting ready to go out, and I've done this 100 times before, where you're ready, but you're ready 10 minutes early. And so all of a sudden you start fidgeting. Is this what I want to wear? Do I wear this purse? Do I bring this? Do I not bring it? And you do a lot of second guessing over things that 10 minutes ago you were perfectly happy with and perfectly fine with. And I've seen that again and again, that either if you have too much time on your hands, you'll mentally fidget with your idea, you'll become dissatisfied and start second guessing your instincts. And research proves that shorter decision making time actually forces better, smarter decisions than having so much time. Again, like, if you're trying to find a cure for cancer, you might need more time to do the research. But specifically in innovation challenges and work challenges, getting a decision made can sometimes be the hardest thing to do. The other thing that having more time really hinders people on, or the other downside of it, is that, let's say you have a deadline and it's 2 weeks away. And so what most people will do is they'll wait until day 12, day 13, to actually start getting the work done. And so in that time, you've had 10 days to lose your energy, lose your focus, maybe something that was exciting to you in that time period, you've kind of forgotten about. And so if you only give yourself 2 or 3 days to come up with those same solutions, you're really maximizing the intensity, the energy, and the focus of your creations and your ideas from the start.
Good stuff there. Great information. Thoroughly responded there. I'm sure the listeners really appreciate that. Now, also, what are the most common mistakes companies make when it comes to ideation?
Well, ideation, I would say I'm the worst person to invite to participate in a brainstorming session because I am so critical of the normal techniques that people do. So icebreakers, spending 15, 20, 30 minutes on an exercise that's just meant to get people talking, is just taking, again, that first 30 minutes when everyone's energized and doing something that's really not productive. Day-long sessions or two-day sessions where people are sketching out ideas and getting married to their ideas and presenting their ideas, what that does is it takes all this time that people are spending and really coming out with very few ideas and the ones that people are then very married to. So a lot of times in ideation sessions, they'll have breakout sessions where they'll put four people in a group and they have to, again, decide by committee kind of what the final idea is. So you could spend an hour creating five ideas, six ideas, that then again get voted on internally. We call it the death by sticky note. And so all of a sudden you've spent a day, 2 days, and you may come out of a session with only three or four ideas that people internally have voted on. So we like to say that groups are great. The group dynamic is great for brainstorming and generating ideas, but not really great for selecting them. And I mean, and think about it, you're asking people to vote on their own ideas. So there's a little bit of bias there. So what we like to do instead is, A, we keep our sessions, our ideations very short. So half day tops. And we're not asking for finished ideas in the session. We're asking for those sparks of ideas that get later ideas flowing and just get them all out there and then wait for the refinement and the development after the session when a smaller group can go through and analyze them instead of, again, decision by committee. One of the other things I think that companies go wrong in ideation is back to the blue sky, but it's more the having a facilitator come in and say, all right, what do you guys think we should do? So thinking that just having someone standing with an easel, standing, you know, with a whiteboard and capturing the ideas is the secret to creating the ideas. So again, what we like to do and what we always do is instead create the prompts, create the hypotheses, create the opportunities very single-mindedly, and then see how the group can solve that challenge. Because again, creativity and innovation is all problem solving, knowing what you're looking for and what you're solving for and getting as many potential solutions as possible.
Really some great information coming from someone like yourself with your experience. We're speaking with Lynn Altman, the president of Brand Now. She's joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, I've heard you say to forget focus groups. Aren't they essential to understanding, what your target audience wants and needs? Or give us some input on that, on your thoughts and stance there as well.
Yeah, well, focus groups, you know, in some ways, I would say they're a necessary evil at some point of an innovation process to have target consumers reacting to ideas. But I think the mistake that a lot of brands make, a lot of companies make, is using focus groups at the beginning of a process to say, let's talk to people off the street and see what their unmet needs are. Let's mine for insights. Let's get them talking about a product or service. And this idea of forgetting focus groups actually struck me once while sitting in the back room of a focus group. And there was one participant who was really off the wall and not productive and disruptive. And I said to the client, oh, it's really, you know, too bad about this guy. And she said, oh, well, there's always one. And I thought, why do we accept that? Why do we accept that focus groups, which are very time consuming, they're very expensive, that there's always going to be a participant who's not engaged. There's always going to be a participant who's a little wacky. There's going to be a participant who sways the others. And it just feels like an unnecessary evil. And so instead of looking to consumers to ask them to articulate what they don't have, what they are unsatisfied with, we would say, you know, they're volunteering that information on social media. They're volunteering it in more helpful ways on reviews. You can look in articles. You can look at what people are doing. And it's what people are volunteering without being asked in this very unnatural solution. And you can really start hypothesizing about what could be a potential solution? What could they want in this situation that they might not have now? And start taking some smart hypotheses as opposed to going directly to the consumers first.
Now, here's a question for you. What role should consumers or a target audience play in the innovation process?
Well, yeah, and that is the point. It's not that they should be ignored altogether, but they're so much better later on. If you think about, you know, the process of making some smart hypotheses about what they could or would need, and then ideating around as many potential solutions to that as possible, instead of deciding internally what are the best ideas, that's the perfect time for a consumer to come in and say, yes, I like this idea more than that. Oh, that's an unmet need that I didn't realize that I had. I like this idea better than that. So it's so much better to get your target consumers to react to ideas that you have, to hypotheses that you had, to build on them to see which ones are sparking, than to look for them to see those ideas. So they definitely should be a part of the process, but just not at the beginning.
That certainly does make total sense. Now, tell us why you brainstorm with masterminds, and who are they, and what purpose do they actually serve?
Now, this is something that's always distinguished our company, you know, for the past 20 years, is that instead of ideating with consumers, we have been collecting a proprietary pool of masterminds. And these are consumers. So we like using consumers as part of ideation, but they're not necessarily the target audience, mass market consumers. We ask creative professionals, usually who live in New York and LA, so coastal, and they know, as creative professionals, they're very seasoned at creating solutions as their jobs. So these are artists and illustrators and web designers and radio producers and chefs. And again, people by vocation or avocation who have just really honed their problem-solving skills. And so it's interesting about when we ideate with them, again, we're sharing our hypotheses with them and asking them to create solutions. We're A, getting into some of the consumer mindset because these people are consumers, but we're also garnering what we call signals from the future because these people are living, I would say, a year to 3 years ahead of where the mass market consumers are. We're exposed here on the coast to different trends, to up and coming ingredients and foods. And while we can always pull back from the kinds of ideas this group creates, we can never, again, with mass market, ordinary consumers, it's harder to push their thinking forward than to pull kind of the next generation of thinkers back and refine their ideas to be more time appropriate or more general, have more general appeal. So they're great. They also, we pre-vet them all. And so anyone that we're brainstorming with, we know we're avoiding the pitfalls of having someone who's, again, overly aggressive, underly engaged. So we know exactly who's in the room and how to put together the room so that we're getting the right mix of people to create the best ideas.
Lynn, this has been really informative. I really do appreciate it and appreciate your visit. Now, just a couple more questions as we conclude here, or close to concluding. How do you approach a new project and where do you look for new ideas and inspiration?
Well, one of the places we look, I mean, a few of them we've mentioned already, we look on social media, we look at Etsy is a great site for saying, what are people creating? Like if it's a laundry product or a home improvement or personal care, there's a lot of things that people are already doing, ingredients people are using that can really start to inspire you. And again, we take these as inspiration, not direct translations to say, oh, you know, in laundry, we've seen a lot of people doing homemade cleaners in jars. So maybe there's this return to simplicity that we might need to look at, for example. We also look at something we call microtrends, which are really emerging products, and not just seeing one product in a category, but looking at multiple categories and saying, are we seeing this ingredient in more than one place? So a few years ago, you know, mushrooms started entering the consumer sphere with mushroom alternate plant-based mushroom products, mushroom facial care, mushroom chips, mushroom jerky. And so we can start saying, okay, well, this is going to be something in maybe 5 years that will start becoming more mainstream, or even As we're seeing now, mushrooms for mental well-being is also entering more of the mainstream. Not quite there yet, but it's on its way. Or, last year we noticed cactus is coming up as an ingredient for hydration in chips, in skincare, even in accessories. So we might say, there might be something in cactus. What do we do with it? Where can it go? Where can we see it moving forward? So we're always looking at the world around us and not always in the category that we're working in. So you can be working in a laundry detergent, but say, let me look to personal care. Let me look to skincare to see, again, what ingredients, what trends are happening. You can walk down the street, you can go to a store and wander the shelves and just keep your mind open to what's out there. And one of our favorite places is actually looking in magazines, because you can see the kind of articles and advertisements. And as you look through them, you can start saying, well, is there an idea here for what my challenge is? Are consumers looking for something in another category that they might be looking for in my category? And we can even look at something, when toothbrushes became more common to be powered, all of a sudden you saw that in razors as well. So you can see, once you start paying attention, how certain things kind of jump from category to category, and you can take those lessons and bring them to your own.
Lastly, how can listeners take some of the key aspects of your methodology and apply it to their brand or innovation needs? I'm sure listeners would really appreciate your feedback there.
Well, Eric, I just want to say thank you for having me here. I've really enjoyed our chat. Some things that listeners can do to take aspects of our methodology and apply it to their innovation needs is one, give yourself a deadline. Even if it's a week to create something or 2 weeks to create something, set a time for yourself and make it your priority, and set aside time every day dedicated to that. Usually first thing in the day is when you're most creative, when your brain is most awake. A, look for inspiration. Don't look for the solutions. Instead of just saying, oh, here's the idea, say, this might lead me to an idea. Look at it, capture it, write it down, and move on to the next, and see how many potential hypotheses, potential ideas you can get. Then start filtering and saying, okay, well, this one isn't as great as that one. Then you can narrow down, and then from that shortened list, start brainstorming with yourself, with your colleagues, with your team, what potential solutions could be based really single-minded hypothesis by hypothesis. Again, don't jump to the solution. Really stay as curious in the questions and potential solutions for as long as possible. And then get some opinions from someone else. Don't make all the decisions on your own.
Lynn, once again, I want to thank you so much for joining us here today on behalf of Brand Now and sharing some tremendous insight and expertise with our audience here today. If listeners wanted to tap into Brand Now and or to be in touch, where's the best place to do so?
The best place to do so is at www.brandnow.com, and has links to our methodology, our case studies, and ways to get in touch with us.
And of course, listeners, as always, you can find this link within the show notes of this broadcast for your convenience. Lynn, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio.
Thank you.
Again, we've been speaking with Lynn Altman, the president of Brand Now, and for all the details, simply visit brandnow.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com. This is the ePodcast Network.